Ott is on his way in. Stroop is on his way out, pointing toward the heavens. We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Jeez.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe.
One of the news stories today is Bob Costas has announced his retirement from play-by-play in baseball.
Yes.
Yeah. Which may come because he did it this year and people got really mad and like, this guy's terrible at this. Because he's a different style than most.
That, this is not a play-by-play man.
That right I there.
I don't think.
It came across the old Twitter feed like, oh, this is RIP, you know, whatever. Farewell, Bob Costas, I should say. This is his greatest moment when he referred to a Cubs pitcher pointing to the sky saying we could only wonder if he's asking a departed relative for forgiveness. And I saw it and thought, that's got to be AI. That can't be real.
Because there's a lot of like that going on.
It can't be a real thing that happened.
It happened.
And, of course, a series of searches on the internet. Like, that did happen.
Yeah, 9 years ago.
How did he ever work again?
I mean, he was only on MLB Network.
I guess.
He's not really. Is that even the mainstream?
I wonder if he's asking a departed relative for forgiveness.
That's pretty bad.
That's unbelievable.
It's amazing that he was, one, willing to say it, and two, that I'm just finding out about it. that wasn't discovered.
That's
before.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Did he have that, like, ready to go? Like, was he just waiting for somebody to have
know.
A he's bad a, day
he's
one
a,
day?
He's a poet, right? Like, he's coming up with that on the spot.
A wordsmith there.
All right, so he's retired from everything then now, right? Or is he still doing
probably,
studio
I
stuff?
Bet he'll be doing the Olympics. They'll do the AI Olympics. Version of him. Will deliver the Olympics forever.
I saw a clip of him that he. I guess this was his thing though, right? He would savagely destroy you if he thought you deserved it. I saw a 2-minute clip of him in like 1995, ripping Art Modell apart for. Taking the Browns out of Cleveland, and he is saying things about an owner that you would never hear in a million years about from a broadcaster now.
Yeah,
about an owner. So there were definitely times he irritated me to no regard. But you know, he had his lane. I think.
I guess.
I don't know that anyone occupies it anymore.
I'm going to find it right now. Yeah, I'm going to find it and get it to Josh because. One of his former targets on like Bob Costas' hating tour was Stevie Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
For the touchdown celebration in New York.
Yep.
And
remember that.
We got to get that because it was a long, lengthy, just really after Stevie Johnson because he celebrated a touchdown and like this is how it often works in sports. Sometimes the way that we are shown games is whatever. It's a lie. You take a 15-yard penalty on a touchdown. The kickoff is moved.
Yeah.
The defense gives up a touchdown on the ensuing drive, and it's the guy who took the 15-yard penalty. It's his fault. It's not the defense's fault for giving up 60 yards. It's that guy's fault for 15. Like, okay, great. It's like when you fumble the ball, if your defense gives up an 87-yard drive, they show you. Oh, look it. Are you happy now? You fumbled. Now's a touchdown. That's your fault. Like, yeah, right. Sure, I guess. It's an 87-yard drive. Anyway, I digress. Farewell, Bob Costas, from the world of play-by-play. One thing from last night, Eric Wood just tweeting this out, and I'm glad he tweeted this because I wanted to bring this up too. So Malachi Corley, former future Bills receiver Malachi Corley, from Western Kentucky, I believe, Yak King, he fumbled the ball out of the back of the end zone, dropping it at the goal line on the way in. Something Kyle Pitts did last week, but they didn't catch it on the replay fast enough. And Eric asks the question, a very important question. Is there a cool factor to dropping the ball as close as you can to the goal line? Why does anybody do it? The whole goal is to cross this line, and you're so excited to be... like Corley has a foot in the end zone, but the ball's behind him as he's running, and he drops it so fast. Like it's incredible. You must be so excited. Do you hate the ball?
Yeah. I don't.
Why ever drop it there? What's the appeal?
Mm-hmm.
Is there an internet site that tracks the closest drops? You're like, man, I'm going to do it as close as possible. I'm going to be the coolest guy ever. I realize I sound super old right now, but it just doesn't make sense. What's the advantage?
I just... DeSean Jackson did this, right? There's been other college players.
There's been lots of players. One guy, there's a famous one in Utah where the guy dropped it, and the other team returned it for a touchdown.
Yes.
Which is one of the greatest plays in college football history.
Yeah.
All right.
I think there is like a swag to it, I think, would probably be the word. Like, oh, just the way you drop it, drop the mic kind of feeling, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
But just get in the end zone.
803-0550 for our phone number. If you want to give us a call, you can do that. It's time for the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy.
Football!
Super, super, great, great American Football Friday Frenzy.
All right. Happy Friday, the Football Friday Frenzy. I didn't tweet out the Let's Remember Some Dolphins, only because they play twice a year, and we just did Remember Some Dolphins.
I feel like we often get to like Chris Chambers every time. Yeah.
How about...
Yeah, I'm trying like, what would be new here?
How
about someone that you didn't remember?
Olindo Mare.
Olindo Mare?
Yeah, kicker. Syracuse.
What about someone that like you didn't remember being a Dolphin that was a Dolphin?
Like...
That's going to be Odell Beckham in 5 years, by the way.
That's right.
But did anyone go there at the end of their career? Joey Harrington.
Joey
there,
Harrington?
Didn't he?
Yeah, who's like the most obscure...
Here's one. This is a Bills crossover, too. Do you remember Mario Williams finishing his career on the Dolphins?
I don't.
He went to Miami after the Bills. He played 1 year in Miami, and then that was it for his career. There you go. Mario Williams, former Bill. Frank Gore on the Dolphins for 1 year.
Bill's legend of the game, George Wilson? No, different George Wilson. Dolphins had a punter named George Wilson in the 60s, so not the same George Wilson. Who went to the Dolphins that I forgot went to the Dolphins?
I'm looking up a list. I bet I can find a good
Lossman. Ron Jaworski, how's that one for you?
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Jaws, threw a touchdown. 9 of 14.
Wow. How about Chris Carter?
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Chris Carter was a Dolphin. Dante Culpepper. Everyone remembers that, though, right? Because they picked him over Drew Brees.
Here's another one.
Nick Saban.
Bernie Kosar.
Kosar
do not remember him with the Dolphins. Do not.
I do not remember
Brock
that.
Brock Osweiler.
I don't remember that.
All right.
Former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson was a Dolphin.
I don't remember that. All right, now I'm on to the receivers. Get some obscure names in here as we remember some Dolphins.
Some obscure Dolphins.
Yeah. How do you like... Boy, way down here. Career receiving yards in minus 10. I mean, I'm trying to find a guy that showed up for a game. Yeah. Ryan Tannehill had 8 yards receiving in his career as a Dolphin. There you go. Philip Lindsay.
No Sean Marino.
Who are former Denver Broncos running backs that faded into obscurity very quickly.
With
Miami.
Yeah, they're the same thing.
Steve Slayton.
What else works here? Fitz is too obvious. Steve Slayton.
Sonoris Perry.
Okay.
You know,
Junior Seau.
Listen, this is what fantasy football gives us. It allows us to have a thought on very obscure running backs and tight ends. Like, oh, yeah, I rostered that guy once.
Yep.
I remember the time I put Kevin McKenzie in a lineup. Nah, in 1999, maybe not.
Mike Wallace, former Steelers receiver.
Steelers, right?
Steelers receiver was in Miami for a minute.
All right. So let's get to the games of the week. The Jets already won the opener. They beat Houston on Amazon Prime last night. We get, of course, Bills Dolphins. A lot of the country gets Denver Baltimore.
That's an interesting game to me.
It is an interesting game. You tell me if this is crazy. I am on purpose starting Bo Nix in fantasy lineups.
Ooh, I don't know if I like that.
Check out his point totals. He runs.
Does he?
Yes. He runs. Bo Nix is
How
a
much?
Sneaky, fine fantasy starter. He ran for 75 yards against the Saints.
Baltimore's defense, though, is
bad. It's not good. They gave up a lot of explosive plays. They were just good against the Bills that day because the Bills had nobody available. Shakir was hurt.
Wow, Bo Nix is averaging 32 rushing yards per game, and he has 4 rushing touchdowns in 8 games. So he's, so 3.2 per game and then 6 every other game. So that's 6 rushing points you're expecting from him every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So 20 points is within reach.
Right, that's not bad at all.
So I don't mind Bo Nix.
All right.
At least, from a fantasy standpoint.
They're 5-3. If they were to find a way to win this game, we're gonna have to decide if they're a fraud or if they're worth respecting, the Broncos, if they were to win.
Yeah.
They have a great defense.
So Denver and Baltimore. A lot of the country gets that game. Also, the early games. Chargers and Browns.
By the way, tweeting, and thank you for reminding us that Jay Cutler played for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Every
week I watch Red Zone, there's a game that I wish I could, on your Twitter feed, you can mute a conversation, or you can mute notifications on a group chat. Every week in Red Zone, there's I'd prefer to mute this game. If you could just skip this one for me.
That would be good.
That has been the Browns in the past, now that Jameis is starting.
I think they're fun now with Jameis.
They kind of are. And one thing about the Chargers that's interesting, they've got this huge reputation for being run. And Judah Fortgang, who I follow, has pointed out in the last 3 weeks, they are moving towards pass over expected.
Are they?
They are moving. They are a more pass-heavy offense these last couple weeks with Justin Herbert. So something to keep in mind.
If that starts happening, what you're going to hear, I bet, this happened with the Bengals a couple years ago. They were running the ball like crazy out of the gates, and then midway through the year, everyone realized, they were only doing that because Burrow was coming off an injury and they were trying to protect him. Who got hurt in training camp? Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
So if they start throwing more, then I might shift to, maybe they were only playing the smash mouth run style because their quarterback was coming off, I think he had a foot injury in camp. I'll believe it when I see it, though, because it is still Greg Roman is calling the plays, and he's never been pass happy in his life.
But both those games, Denver and the Chargers, Denver could go to 6-3. The Chargers could go to 5-3. And the Chargers, the Chiefs
are a little alive.
They're definitely alive for a playoff. And, Chargers Bills here, it wouldn't shock me at all. The Chargers make a playoff appearance. Saints and Panthers in Carolina.
I mean, that's a mute game. That's a block game, honestly. Right.
Fox early game, most of the country getting Dallas and Atlanta.
All right.
Maybe some points scored in that game.
Yep. I'm going to need some Darnell Mooney there. The Cowboys are what? What's their record? 3-4? Or are they 3-5 on the year? Because people are starting to ask Jerry Jones about Mike McCarthy's job status, and Jerry Jones is getting very upset by that. But it's a worthwhile question. I mean, they're 3-4. So if they lost this game, they'd go to 3-5. It would just be they're minus 48 on the season, point differential too. Your move is firing the coach. Belichick is out there. How is that not going to happen if they start losing more? They're not. They're really going to keep going with McCarthy. They're not going to fire him and hire Belichick. That just seems like the obvious thing that's going to happen there. But Jerry Jones is defiant, so maybe not.
Washington and the Giants, early game.
Okay. Blowout. I would bet. Would you pick Washington to win the division right now?
Yes.
They're 6-2. Philly's 5-2. Dallas 3-4.
Yes, I would.
Okay.
New England at Tennessee. What's Drake May's status? Game. Is Drake May going to play?
I think he's probably leaning towards playing. I think he's questionable, but limited.
And Vegas at Cincinnati.
All right. It's a do or die game for the Bengals, isn't it? 3-5.
That's 8 early game windows.
Speaking of coaches and maybe being fired, is Zach Taylor totally safe?
I don't know. My biggest issue, the Bengals have a couple issues right now. One,
they don't pay players.
Two, their reputation is being pushed further by the T. Higgins situation, and Jamar Chase, he'll get paid eventually. Could have happened by now.
I mean, more and more, it's not even a willingness to pay them. I'm reading more and more a wonder, do they even have the liquid money to pay these people up front? The owner is just not, in comparison to other owners, he doesn't have just $70 million laying around to just give to a player. on like a signing bonus.
To put an escrow and all that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The Bengals, whatever. What are we going to do with them? Their defense is bad.
Fire the coach.
They might. Nah. They're very. They're
I don't know what else you do.
They're less interesting. They sure look like a fancy Kirk Cousins team to me. I'm just going to keep saying it.
Fancy Kirk Cousins.
When they finish 8-9, people would say it. If it was Kirk Cousins. Anyway, we'll see if Burrow can get them off the mat. And Vegas is a good opportunity to do it. Late windows. Of course, you know, we got Bills Dolphins. Late windows. 4 o'clock games. Chicago at Arizona.
Well, I like that game.
Not bad. Jacksonville at Philadelphia.
I don't like that game.
No.
That's the game that got flexed out, right? It was going to that was going to be Sunday night.
And the Jags are...
Thank goodness.
I mean, they have so many injuries.
All three of their receivers.
Yes.
Although,
Christian Kirk, collarbone.
Amazingly, Brian Thomas Jr., who was thought to be out, I think it was 2 to 4 weeks, was the original. Like, I think he's going to play. Like, he's practicing. So Thomas is going to play, but he's probably going to be laboring. And then they're getting ETN back.
The Fox late window. There's a pair of games on Fox in the late window. Rams in Seattle. That's being shown in LA and the Pacific Northwest. And then the big game throughout the country, more viewers than any other game, the Burkhart-Brady game, Lions at Packers.
Love it.
Will Jordan Love play? Does it matter if he plays? Matt LaFleur.
They showed clips of him earlier practicing in Green Bay, like in the snow it looked like.
LaFleur's coach of the year, right?
Yes.
If the Packers...
Who's the other candidate?
I mean, Dan Campbell could be.
Yep.
Andy Reid. If you go like 16-1, they just give it to you. That's pretty much how it works.
Right now, NFL Coach of the Year odds.
I mean, LaFleur got Malik Willis in and won games.
LaFleur's eighth.
Eighth.
You want to name the seven coaches ahead of him?
Andy Reid. John Harbaugh.
Nope.
Tomlin.
Jim Harbaugh.
Sorry. Okay. Tomlin for sure.
Tomlin is seventh. He's ahead of him. You mentioned Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell.
You're missing all of the top three.
All right. Hold on.
You're missing the top three Coach of the Year favorites right
One
now.
Is Dan Quinn.
He's the favorite.
Again, it's what team did better than we thought they would do? Dan Quinn.
He's the favorite.
Let me pull up the standings here. Sean Payton?
Sean Payton's third. Yep. Plus 550.
What team is doing better than we thought? How many more are there?
There's one more. You're missing the number two guy.
Oh, I'm missing one.
We gave you the rest. Behind it went Dan Quinn, guy you haven't named, Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, Andy Reid, Dan Campbell, Mike Tomlin, Matt LaFleur. That's the Coach of the Year odds. You're missing number two.
I'm missing the Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell. Yep.
Who's doing better than we thought they would? Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'd give it to LaFleur, though?
Yeah.
I think I would, too.
I mean, Kevin O'Connell's a good
Keeping
answer.
Keeping them on schedule with Malik Willis at quarterback is so impressive.
Then again, doing what they're doing with Sam Darnold is right. Where's McDermott? Way down.
I don't see him listed.
Yeah, because the Bills are... But I guess are the Bills doing better than people thought? A little bit.
But I don't think he'll... Would you bet right now? What are the odds he ever wins one? Are they like 5%?
It's not great because they're always going to be thought to be great, and you have to have a sneaky surprise year or go 16-1.
Or, like, knock on wood, this does not happen. Isn't McDermott's only path to winning Coach of the Year?
Allen gets hurt,
and they make the playoffs?
I wouldn't say it's his only path.
Could he ever win it? Would they have to go undefeated?
But look at the last few coaches of the year, okay? And let me know when I run into a person you think is a great coach.
Okay.
I mean, Kevin Stefanski's won it twice.
Great head coach in the league.
Sure, but last year he did it because he got the playoffs in four quarterbacks.
Okay.
Before that, it's Brian Daboll. Why? Giants made the playoffs, 9-7-1.
Yeah.
Better than we thought. Before that, it's Mike Vrabel. Titans, 12-5. Wow.
Doesn't have a job.
Kevin Stefanski. John Harbaugh, 14-2. Matt Nagy with the Bears.
Oh my goodness, that happened?
Yeah. Some of your coach of the years, Ron Rivera, 2015, Panthers, 15-1. Jason Garrett. Cowboys 13-3. You know? Who had a good year and we didn't think they were going to be that good is often coach of the year.
I bet if the Bills have a season where they go 16-1.
Or 15-2. I mean,
then he could
Harbaugh got it when the Ravens went 14-2 and were the one seed.
Right. So that's live.
I wouldn't bet him to never get it. He certainly had years where he's deserving. His case.
So you would bet right now if you one or the other you had to pick, you think he'll get one?
I don't know. I want to say something.
I think I would say no.
I don't know that people will necessarily agree. Or I don't even know if this is a hot take. Isn't McDermott's coach of the year case every bit as good as Allen's MVP case? Like, there's probably a year in there he should have gotten it, but he didn't.
Which year?
One of the 13.
Probably the year DeMar Hamlin happened, if we're being real.
Or that. That or the year that they win six in. Last year's a year they win six in a row to make it. He fires the coordinator. It works. Then there's the year that after they lose to Tampa in overtime and they rattle off all those wins again.
Well,
he consistently gets them across the finish line in the regular season.
Wait a minute. If we're being real, the year, by the parameters by which the award is really laid out.
When the end of the drought.
They should have won it in 2017.
Yeah.
Who won it that year? Do you have that open still?
2017 Coach of the Year.
That's the year he should have won it. This better be a good name.
Coach of the Year.
He came in year one and broke a 17-year playoff drought with Tyrod Taylor as his quarterback.
Sean McVay won it. Rams 11-5.
Was that his first year there? I think that would have been, right? McVay? First or second?
All yeah.
Right.
No, it was. Because McDermott, that's Kyle tough. Shanahan, and McVay all got hired the same year. So, yeah, he took a Rams team that was Jeff Fisher, 7-9.
And remember, and remember what he did with Goff?
The year before, they moved to L.A., and they were 4-12.
Yeah.
And McVay took them to 11-5 in one season.
And remember what he did with Goff? Goff was like horrific, and then he showed up and like.
And that's not that different than the MVP conversation where your quarterback has a great year, but oh, sorry, this other guy had 50 touchdowns.
I'm looking though. McDermott didn't receive a vote that year.
Got the Bills to the playoffs.
Five coaches got a vote. The five coaches that got a vote that weren't including McDermott. McVay won. Mike Zimmer got 11 votes for first place. That's 22%. Bill Belichick got a vote. Doug Peterson got a vote. And in third, getting two votes was Doug Marrone.
Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. When we return, we're doing some airplane talk, the good stuff, flyover talk. Lieutenant Colonel Aaron Cook's part of the crew flying the C5 Galaxy. Excited to talk flyover again. It is Football Friday. That was the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. It's that time. I appreciate this from Josh. Danger
what
zone.
Is this?
This is danger zone.
It's danger zone, but it's like...
It's MIDI? Is that what it is?
What would you call it? Okay, I had the wrong word in my head. I was thinking Sam Fear, but that's not what this is.
MIDI. This is like what video game soundtracks sounded like when I was a kid.
This would be like the Top Gun video game from like 1988.
You're playing Double Dragon, and like this is the soundtrack, like this quality of audio.
This is 8-bit, by the way.
8-bit, all right.
Thank you.
Perfect.
That's right, yeah.
All right, joining us... on the West Her Hotline. Very exciting. Lieutenant Colonel Aaron Cook, currently the Director of Operations for the 9th Airlift Squadron out of Dover Air Force Base, Delaware. Active duty Air Force for over 20 years. I'm reading your bio here that you gave to me, Aaron, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Graduated from Medina High School and Bills fan. So flying out of Delaware, but when you told me Delaware, I said Bills fan? You said Bills fan. And you're part of the crew doing the flyover this week.
Absolutely, yeah. Big Bills fan, part of the Bills Mafia. Super proud to be coming home and being able to show the C5 off to all the family and friends out there and be able to show them a little bit into my world and what I've been doing.
Do you get to many games up here?
No, unfortunately. Pretty busy. It's about a 7.5-hour drive. To get up there, we come home maybe once a year and see our family, but don't get to any games.
Okay. Well, you'll be flying over in the C5 Galaxy. What part of the crew are you? How many in this crew? This is a giant machine I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's a big jet. It's one of the biggest airplanes in the world. It's the biggest jet that the U.S. military flies. We typically roll around with about 12 to 15 crew members. I'll be the aircraft commander, so I'll be flying the jet, and I'll be flying it by hand on Sunday. We've got usually our crew complement is one aircraft commander and then two co-pilots, but three pilots total, and then we have two flight engineers, and they're responsible for running all of the systems on the airplane. They kind of sit behind us And the plane is so big that we need to have two so that one of them can run around the airplane and physically look at things and activate switches and buttons if we start having emergencies. And then we have typically three loadmasters that fly with us, so they take care of all the cargo and uploading it and downloading it down in the cargo box below us.
Lieutenant Colonel Aaron Cook. Okay, so no loadmasters because there won't be a load, right? But normally this...
We'll have some.
Okay.
On Sunday, yeah. We got a couple just so that they get to be part of this special event. We're also going to have a few of our maintainers on board because our maintainers work awfully hard to keep this big jet in the air. It's such a complicated airplane that it requires a whole lot of maintenance effort. So we're bringing them along so that they get to be part of this as well. And then we'll also have one of our public affairs folks on board to capture the event.
So what is normally the load for a plane like this? It's so big, it carries what?
We carry everything. I put 100,000-pound rock crushers on it. I've had U.S. Navy SEAL boats, 60-foot, go-fast boats that we've put on there, tractor trailer trucks. I've had four UH-60 helicopters loaded on before. So you name it, we carry it.
Tanks? Or is it two?
Tanks, yep. We brought a Abrams tank up from Texas for our Dover Air Show this year, so that was cool to see that roll out of the front of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at you. I immediately checked like a UH-60 Black Hawk, like what that is. So that's also that's the kind of thing that could fly over the stadium. And the plane that you're flying carries four of them.
Yeah, could actually put more than four in there.
All right. So just straight out dimensions. In setting this up, when we spoke with Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Abels, he said that your plane has 28 wheels.
Yeah, we've got 24 main tires in the back, and then there's four nose gear tires.
And is it?
They're all about 4 feet tall.
4 foot tall tires. How? And in terms of size, like Joe had it, the search was what, 82 yards?
Just from a Google search, I saw like 80 something yards. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's right. It's our wingspan is 222 feet 9 inches, and then the airplane's overall length is 247 feet 10 inches, and we stand 67 feet high.
How about
up at the tail?
How about like altitude? Like when we talked about it, they had the KC, the 135, is that what it was, the straddle tanker for a game earlier this year. When you're doing flyovers of stadiums, is it always the same altitude, always the same distance from the top of the lights or anything like that?
So it depends probably on what service. So I'm sure the helicopter guys might be able to go down a little bit lower. But for us, we're governed by our regulations from Air Mobility Command. And they require us to stay at 1,000 feet above everything.
This might be a dumb question. How loud it is when you're in the stadium when this plane flies overhead? Like last week,
it was loud.
It was so loud. It was the jets like going across the. Is that more speed derived, or would the size of the plane impact that too? And the size of the jets.
Well, it depends on the type of airplane. So the F-18s that flew over last week, they've got afterburning engines. Those engines create a whole lot of noise because they're pushing a lot of fuel through. It's kind of a funny question with the C-5 because we've got new engines on now that are much quieter than the old ones, but they produce a lot more thrust than the old engines do. And there's a contingency of older C-5 guys that really miss the sound of the old CF-39 engines that used to have a real whiny roar to them, and that would be a lot louder. But are just pretty loud when we're moving along quickly down low, but we're not going to be as loud as those F-18s.
Lieutenant Colonel Aaron Cook on the Western Hotline with us talking about the flyover. It'll be the C-5 Galaxy, a massive, massive plane. Largest, you told me, largest in the U.S. military, one of the largest planes in the world. And like in terms of flying all these different planes, you know, how many different have you flown? And how many have you have flyover experience before?
Yeah, I've got a little bit. So I started my Air Force life out as a B-52 navigator, a weapon system officer, so kind of like a bombardier. And I did that for about 3 years in Minot, North Dakota, and did a couple flyovers in that from the belly of that plane. And then went to pilot training and flew the KC-10, big tanker that's now retired out there. And then I've flown Learjets, C-21, flying generals around to their meetings all over the U.S., and then came out to the C-5. And, you know, going into my last year of being in the Air Force and being the director of operations, I've been pretty lucky to be able to get on and sign us up to do some fun things like this flyover and a bunch of air shows and go out and show the jet off and get to fly them. So I've been doing a lot of air show flying this summer and having a lot of fun with it.
How long is the trip?
So it only takes us about 40 minutes to fly up there from Delaware.
All right.
So pretty quick.
Very good. You got a pick? Who's going to win?
No. Come on.
I mean, imagine if he said the Dolphins. I mean, I know. Never.
I know. All right. Well, thanks so much for taking some time and teaching us a little bit about the plane. We'll be waving. Joe and I will both be there, and Bills Mafia, of course, waving as well as you head over Highmark on Sunday.
Absolutely. I'm super excited for it. I appreciate you having me on. It's a real honor. I know I've got a lot of family and friends out there listening, so I appreciate the opportunity.
I heard like, when we mentioned this earlier in the week, I got a tweet like, oh, my friend Aaron is on. I go, that's who we're having on. So very cool. Very cool. Thank you very much.
Super excited.
Yeah,
super excited to come home. We'll see you.
Very good. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for your service. That's Lieutenant Colonel Aaron Cook, who's Director of Operations for the 9th Airlift Squadron out of Dover Air Force Base, flying the C-5 Galaxy. I am excited to see. Like, I know this plane is going to be big. I'm excited to see how big it is.
I feel like it's going to feel like it's the size of the stadium.
The stadium flies over the stadium?
Yeah. The aircraft carrier from the Avengers size.
Ooh, what's that one?
It was the flying aircraft carrier.
The helicarrier.
There you go.
That I don't remember.
Was it the first Avengers? It was one of the Avengers films.
There's a helicarrier?
Yeah, it was the first one.
Oh, yeah, okay. I see that thing now.
It was literally just a flying aircraft carrier.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. Is the helicarrier the hardest thing to believe of all the things that happened in the Avengers? That thing
that
can fly?
That was the most unrealistic.
That thing can fly?
It might be. It's like air conditioning fans, too, that are keeping it up in the air.
All right. Flyover. Bills and Dolphins. Listen, they have to win, and they have to be in really good shape because we're going to get a raucous Mr. Brightside.
And you don't want to be down for that.
No. Unless it's a rally song.
I don't think they're going to be down in this game.
No, I think they're going to just, I mean.
I feel like I am working to not just assume they're going to smoke the Dolphins.
Yeah.
It's tough. How do they stop them? How do the Dolphins stop the Bills' offense in this game? I know how the Bills could stop the Dolphins' offense. We see it almost every time. How in the world are the Dolphins going to stop the Bills in this game? Like anybody?
No.
Is there anything?
I don't know.
Chris Brown mentioned earlier, like, Jordan Brooks is a pretty good linebacker. Is there anybody else that's even, like, you would think, him and Ramsey?
Ramsey's good.
They have two good defensive players right now that you know are going to play on Sunday. Holland and Sealer would be two other names, but they might not play. So, like, I don't know.
We'll get Extendo Sports in and hand things off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean McDermott joins to rule anybody out if anybody is going to be ruled out. So get the latest on the injuries. He'll talk with Sal. It's all coming up here on Football Friday on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hey, be caller 5 to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Sean Murphy at Rob's Playhouse Theater tomorrow night. Sean Murphy, a New York City comedian originally from Buffalo. I've seen him in town. I think he's talking about a couple shows with Dan Fisher back in the day, former morning show producer. Anyway, likability, awkwardness keeps audiences captivated. Regular at the Comedy Cellar, he has a YouTube special called Neil. Check that out. Performs in top comedy clubs across the country. Visit PlayhouseTix.com for details. Caller 5 to 716-221-4WGR. If you can go tomorrow, that's when the tickets are for. So you get a pair of tickets. Caller 5 221-4WGR. Sean McDermott at 10:10 today. So 18 minutes from now, Bills head coach joins Sal for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Don't look now, Joe. Tickets for Moana 2 are on sale.
Oh.
Let's go.
Wow.
Thanksgiving weekend.
I saw Moana for the first time like a month ago.
It's really good.
It was great.
It's great.
It's great.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Moana 2.
Do we have any big college football games this week? There was nothing last week for that.
I'm watching.
Who's Syracuse got? Oh, I know the big game we have this week. Penn State, Ohio State.
That's right. Happy Valley?
Yeah. Noon. Number 3 in the country versus number 4 in the country.
Let's go.
There are a bunch of undefeated teams in the Big Ten, and Ohio State has to play all of them. Or have already played all of them. They played Oregon. Penn State tomorrow, and then Indiana, who's undefeated, they play in a couple weeks.
Well,
Sabres tonight.
Sabres tonight. All right, keys to moral victory.
Keys to moral victory will be don't let the opponent kick a puck in, maybe.
All right, I was going to say.
That's too specific. How about
let's have it not be an Islanders game.
Yeah, like a typical Sabres-Islanders game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, are they
2-1.
They score first, and then we all go to sleep for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Let's not have it be a Sabres-Islanders game. That's how about, my key to moral victory.
How about both teams get more than 23 shots on goal?
I like it.
That's a victory.
The Islanders are last in the league in scoring right now.
Yeah.
They've not scored a lot of goals. I guess there's some thought regression is coming there in the right way, progression, because they get more chances than they probably represent when they're scoring.
Isn't that the team we've been waiting for the shoe to drop, though, for years about, like, just how is this team competitive every year? They have no talent.
Cousins to the wing. See how big of a deal this really is, you know? Yeah. Hopefully it works. Need something. He can be a $7 million winger instead of a $7 million center.
I was going to say, I don't know if I want that to be a forever thing, though.
Yeah.
Get him going and then move him back to center.
All right. It is Football Friday. Stay tuned for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal takes over. Sean McDermott coming up at 10:10. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Talk to you Sunday from the stadium.